pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It is Press Conference Tuesday. Bo Pelini coming your way at 12 noon. We will bring you his press conference in its entirety, what he had to say today. So stay with us for that. Also coming up on the program today, we will be talking with Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald here in just a moment from Lincoln. And also on the program today, a little Virginia Tech coming your way. Norm Wood will be joining us on the program today. He is a beat writer for the Hokies. So that's coming up today, plus Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Before we talk to Mitch, though, Daddy, the Huskers, Joe Gans, already spoke this morning, and kind of an interesting thing here. He says that Tom Osborne has been helping him out a little bit with the option.
I don't think that option. I think maybe some ideas, but I think it's basically the zone read option and maybe how to read different, how different linebackers, maybe Tom Osborne's got different ideas of what to look for in reads.
Joe Gans says Osborne has visited with coaches about the option and helped install plays.
Well, doesn't hurt to have a mind like Tom Osborne.
That's you know, exactly right. And joining us from Lincoln to talk a little Husker football and maybe fill us in a little bit more on what Joe Gans had to say this morning. From the Omaha World Herald, Mitch Sherman joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Mitch.
Morning. How you guys doing?
Well, we're doing outstanding. See, now, you guys with your blog now constantly on Omaha.com always have something to update. I've got to imagine that you already have Joe Gans' comments this morning up today talking about Tom Osborne helping the offense.
I'm guessing so, although I haven't been participating in that. Joe gets here so early now. You know, I got to drive down from Omaha, and I missed some of him. But we did have reporters here. You know, we fully staff these press conferences with multiple reporters. And I see John Niatala right now actually working on something, probably putting it up on our site. So I'll go ask him when I get done with you guys what Joe had to say. But all I know is what you said in your little intro there, and it doesn't hurt to have Tom Osborne helping out if it involves the option.
I guess if you're going to learn to cook, you might as well go to Vegas and learn from the best chef. I mean, wouldn't that be? I mean, it doesn't hurt to have Tom Osborne.
Yeah, because that's where they have the best chefs, Vegas.
Yeah, that is best food in the world. Period.
Yeah, exactly. As long as the coaches are receptive to it, and you know, this staff really seems to have embraced Coach Osborne. And why wouldn't you really? I mean, as long as you're not threatened by his presence, and that certainly doesn't seem to be the case with Bo Pelini and Sean Watson. I think they recognize Tom for what he wants to do and that he probably doesn't want to, meddle too much, but he definitely has something to offer. And, it's a good thing for Tom to be able to do, in this stage of his career. I think it's a good thing for all of Nebraska that he's involved in this program and the longer amount of time that he can stay here and continue to help out and with whatever he's doing. And right now, more than helping out, he's everybody's boss, the better it is for Nebraska.
Mitch, the week off, obviously injury-wise, let some people get healthy. I guess, was there one thing particular that you thought this team needed to clean up going into the first real game that a lot of people are calling it this year?
Well, I think they need to probably try to become a little bit more, get a little bit more clear with what they want to do offensively. You want to stay diverse, you want to stay multiple, but we've seen lots of different looks from this team throughout the first three games. Now I think it's time when you have Virginia Tech, Missouri, and Texas Tech coming up that they need to really define some roles and define their identity as an offensive team, find out what their bread and butter is going to be and go to that. Now they're still going to pass, they're still going to run. I don't mean that they need to be a 90% running team or a 90% passing team, but when it comes to the way that they run and the way that they throw the ball, I think it's important for them to kind of have something that they can hang their hat on when it gets to third and six in a in a crucial series in the third quarter of one of these games where they need to extend the drive to keep their defense off the field, they've got to have something that they go to regularly, some type of system. And, you know, we haven't seen anything through these first three games that they can continually hang their hat on that I feel confident in that they're going to be able to, you know, pick up yardage on a regular basis with. And I hope that they worked on some of that stuff in this last week. And getting players back and the offensive line settled, I think, is a big part of that.
Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald joining us. Bo Pelini going to speak here in just a little bit. Of course, you'll hear it right here. But, Mitch, you touched on a little bit your thoughts now that the Huskers are 3-0. Nobody's overly surprised that they're 3-0, and that includes all the people that have a 7-5 perspective from this team by the end of the season, which means toughest stretch by far coming up over the next 3 weeks. Just your thoughts on where Nebraska is right now.
Well, I think they're in decent shape. You know, the main thing that they've accomplished, or one of the most important things they've accomplished over these first 3 weeks, is they've stayed primarily healthy, and I think their confidence is up after the New Mexico State game. There wasn't really a lot of question about whether Nebraska was going to be 3-0 going into Virginia Tech. The question was more, what kind of condition was the team going to be in? You know, did they sustain any big injuries? And the loss to Barry Turner is a significant one, but that there are other players at that position. The defensive line seems to have been able to plug the holes when they've needed to, losing Dixon before the year and now Turner early on. They haven't really taken too much of a step back. You know, we'll get a lot more of an indication these next couple weeks, you know, how much those injuries really hurt. But you know, they're in good shape. They're probably a little bit ahead of where I thought they would be when you take everything into account.
Mitch, I guess if I'm looking at keys to the game this Saturday, I'm looking at the front four linemen for the Nebraska defensive line. This is a team that runs it roughly 70% of the time. Those guys are going to have to play by far their best game of the year if Nebraska's going to have a chance to win this ball game.
When you look at it from a Virginia Tech offense versus Nebraska defense perspective, I don't think you can argue at all with what you just said. Nebraska's going to be in base defense so much more than it has these last couple of games. They haven't been in base defense at all these last couple of games, except maybe when there was a third and one or a fourth and one or a goal line scenario. You're going to see more base defense, although some nickel will still be spread in. Virginia Tech does some things that have the element of the spread, especially with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. They're going to spread it out a little bit, but primarily this is a bread and butter offense. They run the ball. They run at you. They do the things that the Nebraska defensive players have talked about that they've wanted to see from an offense. As these spread teams have come into Lincoln, you've heard Philip Dillard and other Huskers say, "Hey, we wish people would just line up and run it at us." Well, they're going to get that against Virginia Tech. But Virginia Tech's offense has not been the most productive or dynamic this year. Virginia Tech wins games with its special teams, with its defense, so I think it's important not to overlook those aspects of this matchup also.
Mitch Sherman, Omaha World Herald, joining us here for a couple more minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show. And with that, I guess, Mitch, one of the things that's being pointed out, obviously, is that Nebraska's defense may have more of a look like it did in the first game with Cody Glenn maybe being a little more active, and also Tyler Wertman, who really hasn't seen much from Grand Island, getting back in there because Nebraska won't have to use as many defensive back safeties and corners.
I talked to Tyler after the San Jose State game, and he said he played three snaps in that game, and this is a guy who's, he's listed as a starter. But Eric Hegg is getting all that work as the nickelback. They're taking the weak side linebacker, the buck linebacker, as they call him in this system, out of the game completely. Wertman was in on three plays. Two of them were quarterback sneaks. Against New Mexico State, he played even less than that, I believe. I haven't asked him how many snaps he played, but I don't remember seeing him out there at all. And Cody Glenn was out of the game a lot, too, against New Mexico State when they were in the dime with a second nickel back, and that was Lance Thorell in that game. So, this is a week where you're going to see a lot more Cody Glenn, a lot more like it was against Western Michigan, and he's an important guy. You talk about those front four, but I think Cody's somebody who is going to be important for making plays, making tackles, you know, knocking down passes that are thrown over the middle to those backs and tight ends. He's an important guy to disrupt things on the Virginia Tech offense.
You say Virginia Tech offense, Mitch. I want you to give me one positive other than Tyrod Taylor because I don't see one.
Well, I liked what I saw from their running backs in the second half of that North Carolina game. I know those guys don't have the greatest numbers this year, but to me they look like a couple of big, physical, fast guys. And maybe the offensive line has been the problem, but I think that there is the potential for either one of those guys to break out and have a decent game against Nebraska. You know, Nebraska has not proven itself to be a defense that is going to shut down the run no matter what you bring at them. They may develop into a good run defense, but that's still a work in progress. And I wouldn't get overconfident if I was Nebraska that Tyrod Taylor is the only guy who's going to be able to beat you. Also, a person to watch on the Virginia Tech offense is Macho Harris. He's their best cornerback on the defense, but they continue to work him in offensive situations more as the year goes on. He's a receiver. And, you know, I would expect Virginia Tech to use him in some situations this week as an offensive player.
Mitch Sherman, Omaha World Herald. Is it too early in the week for a prediction?
I'm going to predict that it's going to be closer than the 7 points that Vegas is saying about Nebraska. I think it's going to be a close game. You know, I haven't really decided which way I want to go. I mean, I guess I'm leaning toward Nebraska winning this thing, primarily because they're at home and Virginia Tech hasn't overwhelmed me with anything, but I'm also going to take into consideration this is a Virginia Tech program that's won 10 games or more the last four seasons. Only USC and Virginia Tech can say that. So they know how to win ball games, and I do think Nebraska has a good shot, though, being at home.
Well, Mitch, hey, we appreciate the time, and go get your seat front and center, all right?
All right, I will, guys.
Thanks. Mitch Sherman, Omaha World Herald on the Husker Beat, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, Bo Pelini's press conference this hour. We will bring it to you at 12 noon as we do every press conference Tuesday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, just one of those things, though, Daddy, that just in the back of my mind, Virginia Tech has played tougher opponents than Nebraska, and they've got out of there with a decent record.
No doubt about it. I think when you're breaking down to who Virginia Tech has played in Georgia Tech, North Carolina, East Carolina, their loss, and arguably there's a couple plays go a different direction, they win that game. And they enter this thing playing much, much a different schedule than Nebraska. Now, they didn't have a lot of room to get beat up on. I don't know how they came out of these games injury-wise. Obviously, the big news is really about Tyrod Taylor moving into the starting quarterback role. Sean Glennon was a quarterback as a senior. He threw for just shy of 1,800 yards and 12 touchdowns. He was the passer. Tyrod Taylor is the more athletic, more versatile, able to get away, escapability. Bo Pelini talks about a play yesterday in which Georgia Tech caught him 50 yards down the field when he broke away. That's getting a lot of publicity. We don't know a whole lot because they're young and they're inexperienced. You know, this is a team that ranked, I think, 102nd in the nation in offense a year ago. They weren't good on offense. We'll have to wait and see. Yeah, the special teams, you hear about Frank Beamer's special teams every year. You hear about Frank Beamer's defense every year. That kind of, though, for me, plays into Nebraska because I think our offense is pretty darn good. Now, our defense is suspect. If it was the other way and their offense was really good, that's what would give me more concern.
Doug and Daddy Show, one thing that I think you should know that I don't think you do know right now, Daddy, of course, this game being on ABC television, doing the play-by-play, Sean McDonough. Doing the color, Chris Spielman. Sideline reporter, Aaron Andrews.
Lovely. Lovely and talented.
Let's talk to Norm Wood from the Newport News and get a little bit more knowledge on the Hokies of Virginia Tech right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
It was just last week when a Doug and Daddy listener was overheard making this remark.
Gonads are useful for their purpose, but they are no substitute for brains.
Guess that about sums it up.
The agents were catching up on their paperwork and waiting for the rain to stop when a very unusual man walked in.
I want to buy some of thine insurance.
Boy, that rain is really something, huh?
So what kind of coverage are you looking for?
Something for thy boat and thy livestock.
What kind of boat do you have?
I harvest an ark.
Mm-hmm. How do you spell that?
Just like Arkansas, but thou leavest off the ansaw after the K.
Mm-hmm. Now for the livestock. You got cattle?
Two.
Hogs?
Two.
Horses?
Two.
Alpacas?
Barney Insurance. Call us at 237-2222.
Now here's a real eye-opener for you. Lind Eye Care of Kearney is moving. That's right. As of October 15th, their new location will be at 4107 7th Avenue. At Lind Eye Care, you can count on Dr. Lind and Dr. Bierbauer to take care of all of your vision needs, whether it's new contacts or LASIK surgery. At Lind Eye Care, they'll treat your eyes as if they were treating their own. Plan now to visit Lind Eye Care in their new location at 4107 7th Avenue, beginning on October 15th.
Hi, folks, this is Darrell Walter, NASCAR champion and the proud owner of a geothermal heating and cooling system from Water Furnace. You know, I learned a long time ago that to be a winner, well, you got to have the best machine and the best team. That's why my new home is heated and cooled by Water Furnace Geothermal. It's clean, reliable, economical, and here's the best part. It's made in the USA. Now, in my book, that's a winning combination. So call your local water furnace dealer today.
Call Fidelki Heating and Air today.
Somewhere in an RV, a husband and wife settle in for a night's rest when he says,
"You know, I wish I would have taken this RV to Rich and Sons before we left."
"Why?"
"Because I just went to the bathroom.
"What are you trying to tell me?"
"Not good."
"You've worked too hard for that vacation to have it interrupted by maintenance problems on your RV. Rich and Sons RV headquarters for sales and service. Don't have time? The mobile ready-to-go service is also available. Log on to richsonsrv.com. Rich and Sons, South 281, Grand Island.
Hi, I'm J.W. Hart, the Ironman of the Professional Bull Riders. You're listening to the ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM.
It's the state of the art and the state of the game at Indian Head Golf Course in Grand Island. GPS devices are now on every cart, eliminating the distance guesswork, improving your club selection for the next shot and a better game. With its flat, fair, but challenging, well-manicured golf greens, Indian Head is well above par. Play 9 or 18 holes. And the 19th hole is better, too, with a newly renovated clubhouse. Reserve your tee times online. Log on to IndianHeadGolf.com. Indian Head Golf Club, where the fun begins.
We'll see partly to mostly cloudy skies across the area today with some scattered showers and thunderstorms still possible with high temperatures staying up near 80. Winds will be shifting to the west later on today at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight there's a slight chance for showers and storms early, followed by a low of 48. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 64.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Daddy, I ask you a question. You've got your Las Vegas Sports Consultants Top 30, which you rely on now that Colin Cowherd told you you should. If Virginia Tech is 28th and Nebraska is 29th, then why is Nebraska a 7-point favorite?
Well, because they're giving Memorial Stadium an awful lot of credit. I mean, apparently. That's the only reason I can come up with. And the Virginia Tech's offense sucks.
Then why are they 28th?
Nebraska
should be ahead of Virginia Tech, so why don't you just throw this away? It makes no sense.
I guess you give 4 points in college for the home field, so that you're wondering why the other 3 points are there. Yes, I don't have an answer for you. By the way, that Las Vegas sports consultant, 7 teams in the top 30 from the Big 12, 2, 4, and 6, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Texas. Also in the top 10 at number 9, Texas Tech. So
Kansas 15th, Oklahoma State 21st. And the Big Red, 29th.
Southern Cal, they got just heads and shoulders above everyone. I mean, and they might have proved that against Ohio State, but Ohio State, I still think Southern Cal, you can go down quite a ways. The SEC, you can go down quite a ways. I think, not quite a ways, but the top 3 or 4 teams in the Big 12, and I think give Southern Cal all they wanted. I mean, I think there's several teams that are probably better than Ohio State. They still got Ohio State ranked at 7th in their rankings, down 2 spots from 5 last week. So 8 points difference if you're just going by their ratings.
1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us anytime to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. This is the second meeting between Virginia Tech and Nebraska. Of course, Nebraska 1-0 in that series. That's a while ago, though. A while ago.
Yeah, right now we're going to talk about the other side of this game on Saturday with Norm Wood from the Newport News Daily Press. Norm, thanks so much for giving us a minute today on the Doug and Daddy Show.
No problem, guys.
Virginia Tech, give us the lowdown. Do they have the ship righted? Was the ship ever not righted? My contention is their schedule a little bit tougher than what Big Red has went through. Your thoughts?
Yeah, a little. I mean, the jury's still out on these guys. I mean, speaking of Tech, of course. I mean, the offense is really struggling. I mean, I think the coaching staff coming into the season had a feeling that the offensive line was going to be a lot better pass protection-wise, and thus they were going to try to redshirt sophomore quarterback Tyrod Taylor this season. But they quickly found out against East Carolina, which sent a bunch of blitz packages after Sean Glennon, that that line still had a lot of improving to do, and they couldn't really run the ball. He only had 104 yards against East Carolina, and guess what? Redshirt came off of Tyrod Taylor because the guy can run around a little bit and sort of create some offense back there. So that's a team that's still averaging 99 yards of passing offense a game, and that's not going to do it once they get into the thick of the ACC race. And even though the ACC is down, and it may not do it this weekend in Nebraska either.
Norm, I just asked Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald in this previous segment, give me one positive on the offensive side of the ball other than Tyrod Taylor for Virginia Tech.
One positive. But, you know, a lot of people, there's two guys you could mention. Since you're holding me to one, I'll pick Darren Evans, who is a redshirt freshman tailback, who honestly probably should be starting at this point. He's averaging about 14 carries a game. Should probably be up in the 20 carry range. He's a workhorse, former Parade All-American guy from Indiana. Is going to be a really good player. Right now, splitting time with Kenny Lewis, who was going to be the other bright spot, who kind of gets overlooked, but he's leading the team in all-purpose yards. Great, good kickoff returner. Probably their best receiving back out of the backfield. But again, smaller than Evans, and just doesn't pack a wallop like Evans does when he tries to run between the tackles. So Darren Evans is a guy to look for also. It's a pretty young team now, and a pretty young offense, obviously. All young receivers.
Talking on the Doug and Daddy Show here with a little Virginia Tech coming your way, and all the way from, the East Coast, Norm Wood from the Newport News. Hey, Norm, as you look at this, you've got some experience up front to allow maybe that run game to move along a little bit. Have they done their job so far?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's kind of why the coaching staff thought that they'd be better up front this year, is because they do have a little bit of experience. However, they still got a guy at left tackle, Ed Wang, who was out for half the season last year with a broken leg. You got a redshirt freshman at the right tackle position, who's obviously starting for the first time this year, and was out for a couple games with a bruised kidney and quad and knee, and Nick Marshman, a left guard, has also been inconsistent also. So you've got two guys that have been consistent every game in Ryan Schumann at center and Sergio Render at right guard, and two out of five is not good enough in college football.
Norm, I guess everybody knows Virginia Tech from the special teams. I think that's one thing that stands out about Beamer ball, and then the defense. They led the ACC's defense in 07, holding opponents to 296 yards per game, 10 points or less five times last season. Obviously, that's still the strength of this team.
Yeah, and no question. And, even though you consider the fact that they're replacing seven starters on the defensive side, they played pretty well here in the first few games. You talk about Bud Foster, defensive coordinator of Virginia Tech. He probably looks at Bo Pelini pretty envious, I would imagine, because Pelini's in a situation that Foster would love to be in. I'm writing a story later on this week about, how it's a little more difficult for defensive coordinators to get those head coaching positions, and because they're overlooked a little bit, but because they're not the big sexy names that some athletic administrations think may produce points. But so far through the first four games, the defense has led the way. Special teams has been a little shaky, except for Brett Bowden. The punter has been fantastic. They just don't have the punt returner or the kick returner yet that they usually have. Victor Harris is a great cornerback, another guy that they're he's going to play two ways, also plays receiver, probably play 15 or 20 plays this weekend at receiver. But he's also a guy that they're depending on punt and kick returns, and he just hasn't had a great season yet there, and that's a little disappointing, I think, for Tech's coaching staff.
Doug and Daddy Show talking with Norm Wood from the Newport News. Virginia Tech rolls in on a Saturday night for a matchup with the Huskers on ABC. Norm, what do you think this game boils down to?
Well, I mean, it's like any other game. I think if you can hold the turnovers down, Tech might have a chance, and obviously same for Nebraska. But this is going to be a unique situation for Tech, playing on the road in a place that's awfully unfamiliar. Last time this happened, they did not fare very well in a huge night game last year at Louisiana State, and really wilted down there. Had some turnovers, and that was when we saw the debut of Tyrod Taylor last year at that game. And maybe that'll help a little bit this weekend. I think if Tech can you know, win the turnover margin, they might have a chance to win. It's just a tall order, I think, against the defense as sturdy as Nebraska's has been at times.
I guess everybody here is wanting to know, in your mind, is having LSU's defensive coordinator, who took over and basically dominated that game a year ago, is that a big key, or are just the pieces so different that doesn't really matter this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's the two schools of thought. I mean, there's you know, Tech is going more. I think they're pulling Frank Beamer, you know, Coach Frank Beamer, and offensive coordinator Brian Steinspring kicking and screaming into the spread offense era with Tyrod Taylor. Frank, you know, Coach Beamer's been a staunch I formation type guy. A lot of two tight end and fullback packages in there for max protection type things. And now with Taylor, you know, you're going to see, you know, we've seen some things in the last 2 weeks that, you know, we didn't think existed in Southwest Virginia. You know, four or five wide receiver sets and, two tailbacks trying to run a spread option with Taylor. So, you know, yeah, they did see a little bit of that in the second half last year against LSU. Pelini was, you know, was able to scheme against some of that, but, you know, that was Taylor running for his life. So I think this is a little more polished. Obviously, it has not, you know, you haven't seen the results in the national rankings, you know, offensively for Tech, but, it's a work in progress, and it's a lot different offense than what you saw last year, or at least it's becoming that way.
Normally, Nebraska fans go to Virginia Tech next year. What's Blacksburg have to offer? What's the one thing Nebraska fans don't know about about the college and about the atmosphere around the college?
Well, I'm imagining it's pretty flat out there. I've never been in Nebraska. I'm not going to say we're in the middle of the Alps or anything like that. But you know, it's a pretty area, especially, you know, you come out here during the fall. You know, you're going to get to see the leaf change, it's a beautiful area. It really is. I wouldn't call it the most cosmopolitan area. I mean, there's not an awful lot to do, but you know, you got your standard, you know, dozen, you know, half, you know, 18 or so bars downtown, lots of restaurants, great college scene downtown. But that's it. I mean, it is not. There's not much around Blacksburg. You know, if you get into town next year and you know, get yourself some meals downtown and maybe have a good time the night before the game, you should have a pretty decent time down here.
He's Norm Wood from the Newport News Daily Press. Norm, thanks so much for the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show, and look forward to meeting you in Lincoln.
Sure, thanks, guys.
Take care. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us anytime, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. One key statistic I look at, and again, this is just early on this season, but Nebraska is second in the Big 12 in sacks and 10th in the country. Sacks allowed. Virginia Tech, 9th in the ACC, 85th. In the country. I know it's early, and with a non-passing offense, maybe you go ahead and call some of the runs they do, you know, possible run-pass options that run into those sacks. But I think that could be pretty key. You mentioned Nebraska's front four down linemen. That could be a key to this football game, because it doesn't look like, I mean, Virginia Tech's trying to find a way to get the ball down the field, but it doesn't look like they've found that yet.
Well, I still, in talking to two guys that have looked a lot closer than we have at this, nobody's given me one reason other than Tyrod Taylor. Okay, Darren Evans is a good running back, powerful, young guy. Okay, atmosphere on a Saturday night, a lot of young guys have folded under the lights under that pressure, have put the ball on the carpet under the lights in that pressure. There's nothing that anybody says on the offensive side of the ball that says, ooh, major weapon. And I think that fits perfectly into Nebraska's hands.
Your thoughts, email the Dead Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy. Spell out the word and, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. We're going to take a break, and don't forget Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming up, Bo Pelini's press conference, and more after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Two guys who get a little emotional when they hear John Belushi yell,
"There's been a front-end collision with possible injuries.
A car has been involved in a crash. There were no witnesses. The driver couldn't communicate. How did he get help? Sensors in his car automatically sent crash details and his exact location to OnStar, who called for help. You've always taken care of your car. With automatic crash response, it can take care of you. OnStar is standard for the first year on 11 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
At Microtel, everyone's in seventh heaven. Is it because we have free wireless internet in every room, our MicroPass frequent guest program, free get up and show breakfast, or the free local and long distance calls? Maybe it's because for the seventh year in a row, Microtel was again ranked highest in guest satisfaction among economy budget hotels by J.D. Power and Associates. Wow, 7 years in a row. Somebody must really like us. Book a great hotel at an even greater price. Visit MicroTelIn.com. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, go to JDPower.com.
Mouth-watering, hot and juicy, freshly cut to perfection. T-bones, strips, and prime rib voted best in Grand Island. All at Texas T-Bone. For real men who think they can eat, there's the 4-pound challenge. If you can eat your meal in 75 minutes, it's free. Not only is Texas T-Bone the place for steaks, they put some great care into their burgers, chicken, and sandwiches. So bring the family to enjoy great food, great atmosphere, and steaks done right at Texas T-Bone Grand Island.
Steaks done right. Texas T-Bone.
In Vegas, the high rollers never miss a good play. And neither do you when you go to Johnny Casino's, Grand Island's latest entry into dining out. You can watch every Husker game, whether broadcast or pay-per-view, and the NFL Sunday Ticket. Even after your high school game is done, Johnny Casino's has the oven hot with fresh pizza. Johnny Casino's, west side of the Conestoga Mall off 281 Grand Island. And remember, what goes on at Johnny Casino's will keep you coming back to Johnny Casino's.
Hi, this is Phil Gordon, professional poker player. You're listening to ESPN Superstation in central Nebraska on 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see partly to mostly cloudy skies across the area today with some scattered showers and thunderstorms still possible with high temperatures staying up near 80. Winds will be shifting to the west later on today at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight there's a slight chance for showers and storms early, followed by a low of 48. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 64.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where it's time for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Giving away a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats in Kearney. And, oh, it's tailgating time. You must stop by Troutman's. If you've never been there before, well, this is a good reason to start. And if you have, well, you know you want to go back. 1-888-455-ESPN. You have to be the first correct caller. We're going to take your call on the air today. It's Nebraska-Virginia Tech Trivia. If you know the answer to today's trivia question and you have not won in the last 2 months, then you are eligible. If you have not won in the last 2 months, Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, you're eligible. 1-888-455-ESPN. ESPN. So give us a buzz right now, and we will open up the phone lines and give you a chance to win Troutman's Tuesday Trivia because, it's Tuesday, and we've got two or three different questions here. We'll see if somebody gets the first one right off the bat. I think the first one might be the easiest. Let's go to the phone lines on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning. Who are we talking with?
This is Doug.
Doug, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
All right, here's the question. Nebraska and Virginia Tech have played once. Who was Virginia Tech's starting quarterback in that matchup?
That's the easy one. Give me another one.
You got a guess?
Major Apple. I have no idea. Major something.
Thanks, Doug. Bye-bye. 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. Let's go back to the phone lines. Doug and Daddy Show, who are we chatting with?
This is Mike.
Mike, how you doing?
Good.
Let's ask you a different question. Frank Beamer is in his 28th season as head coach. Not all of those have been at Virginia Tech. What school did he coach at before that?
Oklahoma State.
Sorry. Head coach. Let me give you head coach. Head coach.
Oh, he's a head coach. Still there?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll give you another guess. I should have said head coach.
Okay. North Carolina.
Sorry, Mike. Thanks for calling. 1-888-455-ESPN. Did I just screw, Mike? Is that what I did?
I think, Mike.
$25 to Troutman's here in Kearney. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning, Doug and Daddy Show. Who are we chatting with?
Sam.
Sam?
Yep.
Sam, how you doing today?
Doing great.
The only time Nebraska and Virginia Tech met was on this day. It was a bowl game.
Yep. January 1st.
No, sorry, Sam. Good guess, though. Thanks for trying. 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. Keep firing away. Let's go back to the phone lines. Doug and Daddy's show. Good morning. Who are we chatting with?
Good morning. This is Dan.
How we doing, Dan?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm going to recycle a question here. Who was the quarterback the only other time Nebraska played Virginia Tech?
I have no idea. Absolutely no clue.
All right, bud. Thanks for calling. Right. Let's go back to the phone lines. 1-888-455-ESPN, Doug and Daddy's show. Good morning. Who are we chatting with?
This is Mike again. I'd kind of like to answer that last question.
Hey, Mike, I'm gonna give you an easier one this time around since you're back through. Who was Nebraska's starting quarterback the previous meeting against Virginia Tech?
Oh, gosh. Can you give me a year?
1996.
96. Oh, let's go with Tommy Frazier.
No, sorry, Mike. 0 for 2, buddy. Sorry, bud. Let's go back to the phone lines. 1-888-455-ESPN. Who are we talking with this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show?
This is Andrew, and Virginia Tech's quarterback was Jim Drunkenmiller, and Nebraska's was Scott Frost.
So does that mean I have to give you a different trivia question?
I don't care. I'll get that one, too.
Oh! Andrew getting cocky up in our face. Okay, what day was Nebraska and Virginia Tech? What day was that bowl game played on?
I want to say probably the 2nd or 3rd of January, and it was the Orange Bowl, right?
Yeah, but that's wrong. That's wrong, Andrew. Sorry, buddy. Well, let's keep on going. 1-888-455-ESPN. He was right, by the way. Scott Frost was the starting quarterback for Nebraska. Jim Drunkenmiller was the starting quarterback for Virginia Tech. Let's go back to the phone lines, though. Good morning, Doug and Daddy Show. Who are we chatting with?
This is
Say again?
Brett.
Brett? Brett, what was the score of the Nebraska-Virginia Tech bowl game in 1996?
Wow.
28. I'll make it easier. How many points did Virginia Tech score?
3.
Bye-bye, Brett. 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. Doug and Daddy Show, we're having a good one today. Who are we chatting with?
This is Ed.
Ed, what bowl game did Nebraska play Miami in 1996?
In 96, what bowl game?
Yeah. Excuse me. What game did Nebraska play Virginia Tech in 1996?
Orange Bowl.
We have a winner. Ed, congratulations. I might have even given it away by saying Miami there. Ed, hold on the line, and Derek will get your information. Congratulations. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. It was the Orange Bowl, 1996. Nebraska won 41-21. Where had Frank Beaver coached before? Well, that was Murray State. Sorry about that question.
Well,
you know, once in a while you draw the short straw. Once in a while you know that crap, and they just bury us. So 28 seasons as a head coach, Beamer, 212-109-4, 170 wins, 86 losses, 2 ties at Virginia Tech.
What day was the game played?
New Year's Eve.
Oh.
Yeah, New Year's Eve. So there was actually 2 Orange Bowls in 1996. I think that was one of those situations where this is before we got all crazy and started playing January 25th for the national championship, but where I think, I don't remember, but I think maybe it was NFL Sunday, and so the games weren't all played. I don't remember the exact circumstances, but it was played on a New Year's Eve.
I must be honest, Douglas, you're sitting over there with your going through your things. Scott Frost was the only one that I was pretty sure of. I just thought 1996, I thought that was the right era for Frost, and then handed over the reins, I believe.
That is correct. So there you go. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. We do that every Tuesday, 1-888-455-ESPN. That's always the number. Don't forget our Dead Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. By the way, I did not ask the following question. Who was Virginia Tech's starting running back that night? Ken Oxendine. I know some people will remember that, some people won't. Chris Brown was our kicker. Scott Frost was the quarterback. Jason Peter had a touchdown, defensive touchdown in the game.
This is amazing. We go to the Den Popper inbox, and Trent's calling us liars. Check your facts on the score. last met Nebraska in the 1996 Orange Bowl, losing 41-21.
Yeah.
So. Where are you? Okay, Trent, please give us a deal where we can check that score.
Yeah, that's right. There you go, 41-21, according to multiple sources, as we have to do here at ESPN. We're going to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bo Pelini's press conference will bring it to you in its entirety starting at 12 noon. Stay with us. We've got more to chat about after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Almost as much fun as watching Fluffy in the dryer.
Ground one, this is Tower One. I am swinging into position.
Tower One, this is Boat Three. I will count you down for three and two and one and... Bingo.
Bullseye, Tower One.
This is what it sounds like when engineers use Nextel DirectConnect to place a 780-ton suspension bridge foundation tower. Communicate in less than a second with Nextel DirectConnect and get more done with unlimited plans only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel.
Mel Kiper Jr. here. Have you always dreamed about a career in sports? Dr. Lynn Lashbrook with Sports Management Worldwide offers online training courses that launch your sports career. Sports Management Worldwide at smww.com trains people in as little as 8 weeks to be sports agents, scouts, and work in the front offices of the NFL, MLB, NHL, NBA, and NASCAR. Call Sports Management Worldwide at 877-SMWW now. That's 877-SMWW-NOW. Call now or visit smww.com.
So I'm thinking it's that time of year, you know, football, beer season, but my wife thinks it's...
Honey, help me decorate the house in various shades of orange, throw fake leaves and plastic pumpkins everywhere.
Season, I need a break. Football and an ice-cold beer.
Escape to Cunningham's Journal Yard Good Time headquarters this fall. Cunningham's has every NFL game on every Sunday, all in high def. Enjoy food and drink specials, too. But don't wait till Sundays. Visit any night of the week and escape the...
Honey, help me.
Zone. Cunningham's Journal. Downtown Kearney.
Hey, Nebraska, are you ready to save some cash on auto service? Then get to Big O Tires now. For just $159, you'll get an oil change plus any two maintenance services of your choice. Transmission, radiator, fuel system, power steering and brake flushes, plus transfer case and differential services. Any two of your choice, plus an oil change for $159. So if you need vehicle maintenance, save your cash now. Tires, service, straight talk. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see partly to mostly cloudy skies across the area today with some scattered showers and thunderstorms still possible with high temperatures staying up near 80. Winds will be shifting to the west later on today at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight there's a slight chance for showers and storms early, followed by a low of 48. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 64.
Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Bo Pelini's press conference coming up at the top of the hour. Tomorrow, Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep, among our guests here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Later in the week, we'll be catching up with Bill O'Boyle, head football coach at Shadron State, for their annual rivalry contest with UNK, which is going to determine, I think, Tony, whose season goes where they want it to go and who's, well, Shadron might still be able to hang around because they're nationally ranked right now, but... UNK must win if they have any aspirations of making the postseason. And so we'll talk to Coach O'Boyle on Friday. There's going to be some good high school matchups this week. A lot of them in the eight-man ranks, it seems like. There's a handful of 11-man games. But just a brief touch on high school football. Again, I look, we've got our picks to do again for the Hastings trip. And usually every week we're 9-1, 8-2. I mean, the guys that are doing the picks, 7-3, 6-4. There have been a lot of games that have not went the way folks thought they were going to go so far this year, and you've got some surprise teams out there at 3-0.
Well, we got to see a couple of those teams, and I think Elwood's maybe one of those teams that you thought, well, they just couldn't be as good as they were last year, Doug. And getting to see them, obviously the Bonzoff twins, the Barnes twins, and Cale Barnes is one. How would you like to be the brother that blocks for your other brother? He gets all the attention. All the girls go, you know, I want to date Cale. What about the other Barnes kid?
Sounds like the Pelini skit. Go to KETV.com. Our buddy Matt Schick did a great story in this off week with Carl Pelini. You just got to watch it. Go to KETV.com and look at the video on their page there. I think it's up like Carl Pelini coach or something like that over on the right side. So check that out. You know, Giltner's one of those teams. Franklin is definitely one of those teams that I don't think a lot of people was given credit to, dropping from 11 down to 8 to be as good as they are. We're going to see a good
Burwell the same way.
And, you know, Palmer's taking a couple on the chin. We talked to Sam Dunn at the beginning of the year. They had a horrid, horrid non-conference or non-district schedule. They haven't been able to get on the right side of the win column here, and I still think they've got a great chance to win their district. I mean, that's, you know, a good football team that saw a tough schedule. But when debating what games we're going to do, you know, some of our folks pick them out before the season, and that's pretty easy to do with our Hastings stations because, well, you've got three schools, you do that. And we do quite a bit of Kearney Catholic, but we also want to do some other area schools as well. And, in fact, there will be a great game, Kearney Catholic-Cambridge, a battle of 3-0 teams on ESPN 1460 Friday night. We're going to see Hampton-Pleasanton. But you look at some of the 11-man games around here, and there's just not a lot of good matchups. There's just not a lot of good matchups. You know, Gibbons down, Shelton, at the 8-man ranks. Even towns that you think would have 11-man, you know, Gibbons down, Wood River's trying to right the ship. They have been down, but they're trying to turn the program. And Hastings Saints, they just beat the crap out of everybody. You know, so whoever they play, Adams Central moves up to B. That kind of evens the playing field there. And I'm talking basically, though, about our Class C. Class C1, C2, 11-man football teams.
And the teams we've got to pick from to do on Friday night.
There's just not a ton of overwhelming. You just look at the rankings. You look at the rankings, and maybe some of them aren't getting the respect they deserve. You know, maybe Elm Creek moves into those rankings here pretty soon. There's just not as many as there have been in the past.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think, you know, it's exciting when there is new blood and it reinvigorates towns and people get behind these kids. And Hampton, Giltner, you know, teams like that, I think you're seeing it. Now, interesting tidbit, last Friday night, did you know that Fast Eddie Aarons, after the game, said, the assistant coach for Elwood said, it was only the second time in 28 years that his wife had not been there to hug him after a win or loss. And he was very emotional, so we hugged it out. But her mother, her father had a heart attack, but he said that made him a little bit sad. And that touched my heart. Fast Eddie Aarons, I didn't know he had much of a heart, but he does. His wife, Deb, was not there to hug him. Second time in 28 years after win or loss. Just want to throw that in.
Any anniversary wishes or, you know,
no,
things you want
no,
to throw
no.
out, you know, this date in history? Lord, it's unbelievable. I don't even know where to go after that. I really don't, you whack job. There's going to be some pretty good volleyball around the area tonight, so go out and check that out if you get that opportunity. One of the top games in the area in Class B, number 2 Northwest, is at number 3 Aurora. Kearney moves into the Omaha rankings this week. At number 10, they host North Platte, who they've battled with already this season. Wood River's at Kearney Catholic. That's a top 10 matchup in C1. Adams Central and Boone Central will see St. Paul in a triangular. St. C and Donovan Trumbull are on the schedule for tonight. There's a 14 quad over in Loomis, so there's some other action going on in the area this evening, and we look forward to bringing you more volleyball later on in the week. Daddy, Royals, good game for the Kansas City Royals last night.
Another 6-2 winner, chicken dinner, and they continue to play good baseball, trying to catch the Detroit Tigers so they will not finish in the cellar for, I believe, the fifth year in a row. I think they've done it the last four.
They're a game back. They're a game back to the Tigers, who many people had not only winning the division and going to the playoffs, but maybe playing in the World Series. And they could finish dead last in the division.
We need to dig out our World Series selections here.
Well, we will next week. We will. They're not pretty. I know I had Cleveland, so there's no need to pull them out. Really, there's no need.
I believe I had Detroit. So
seriously, there's no need. I think we've covered just about everything sports-wise that there is to cover. We're going to have the press conference coming up here in just a couple of minutes at the top of the hour from head coach Bo Pelini. The Huskers getting ready to play a little television game. You know, one thing I think that's going to be interesting, and you brought this up with Norm, and you brought it up with some other folks. What do you do when you go to Lincoln for a Nebraska football game? What are the things? I think it would be interesting to throw it out to our listeners. You can email us anytime. You throw out, you've got to go eat at Misty's. If you're coming from someplace else, but even if you go every week and you're a Nebraska fan, and there's like one time, you got to make sure that sometime you go eat at Misty's, and probably the original at Havelock, although it might be easier to get downtown. You know, you party out back at Barry's, and I'm not talking about tailgating. Because, I mean, you can tailgate, but is there a special place to tailgate? Well, all over town is a special place. What do you do game weekend? I mean, this is what you do Friday night. You go to Misty's. Or you're at the Embassy Suites and the band rolls in. Or Saturday, you know, what do you do now that there's some new traditions? Maybe you take your kids to the Husker Pavilion. Maybe you make sure you're in the seats in time for the tunnel walk. Obviously, that's huge.
I'd make it a point to go to Sidetracks every time I'm around.
Yeah,
I like Paul and Joyce.
Time with Paul and Joyce. I mean, what are some of the Lincoln icons or events that you should do or must do if you're coming to one of your first Husker games, or you maybe make a tradition every time you go down? And we don't have time to get into that today, but I just wanted to throw it out, maybe think about it, and we'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow, because I think that's something, just as you were talking with Norm setting up the interview from
Norm was asking,
you know, what do I do when I come to Lincoln? You know, I've never been there. And you threw out a couple suggestions. I'm just curious to see if the rabid Husker fans have the same opinions. Don't forget, there's golf going on, finishing up the RMAC tournament out at the
Much nicer day.
I don't know. It was raining this morning, buddy.
Undoubtedly a nicer day than
yesterday. The wind has started to simmer down.
Yeah, thanks.
Started to simmer down. We are going to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll bring you Bo Pelini's press conference. Daddy will have a couple of thoughts on the press conference when it wraps up, and we'll have you out of here by 12:30 today. So stay with us. Doug and Daddy Show continues. We want to thank the folks that did join us today. Norm Wood from the Newport News, Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald. Tomorrow, Bob Jensen among our guests from Husker Land Prep. But when we come back, Bo Pelini's press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
Hey guys, the boss just asked when we dropped our grade school requirement for all on-air personnel.
Mid-America Market Information.
For the Mid-America Ag Network, I'm John Runyon. Here's a look at your market update. For corn, is down at 4.5 at 5.54 for December. Soybeans down 21 at 11.84 for November. Soybean meal down as well, and almost unchanged there, actually, at 3.22 for October. Soybean oil down $1.75 at 47.80 for October. Kansas City wheat down 2 at 7.72 for December. Looking ahead to July, it's down 4.5 at 8.03. Moving over to the Mercantile Exchange, live cattle down 25 for October at 102.20. It's down 67 cents at 103.22 for December. Feeder cattle down 37 cents as they're getting closer to wrapping up July or September, down 107.77. October down 55 cents at 106.50. Lean hogs down 40 cents for October at 68.25, and lean hogs for December is down $1.35 at 66. Now over to crude oil, a lot of covering from October. Crude oil is down 227 for November at 107.10. December is down 287 at 106. Gasoline up 10 cents at 270 for October, 13 for November at 267. Diesel down 2 cents at October at 302, and November it's down about 4 cents at 301. And moving over to financials, looks like the S&P 500 is down 480 at 1209. Dow Jones Industrial Average is holding on to its gains as much as possible today. Got up to over 100 points today, but now it has a little bit of a pullback, down 1108 at about up 17 right now. NASDAQ 100 up 1425 at 1684. The dollar is up 35 at 76.72. As a look at your market update for the Mid-America Ag Network, I'm John Runyon. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Leon from Paramount Seed in Quinter, Kansas, and I know our new P919 beardless barley will give you as much or more fall grazing than anything else you can plant. Barley, you don't have to worry about volunteer problems like you do with some other fall crops. And we have a new high-yielding grain barley, too, up to over 150 bushel in the acre under irrigation. The name of that one is Pinbar 66. Call us at Paramount Seeds in Quinter, Kansas, for all your winter barley seed needs. We're listed in the Vice Yellow Pages.
I'm Sid Dinsdale. When my grandfather helped start Pinnacle Bank, he had a vision for the type of business he wanted it to be. He believed that the enduring financial institutions of America would be those that charted a stable course, put communities first, and focused on long-term goals. Now people are hearing stories about economic troubles, but Pinnacle Bank is still forging ahead, staying true to those values. Vision, that's the Nebraska way. And at Pinnacle Bank, we think that's the way banking should be. Pinnacle Bank, member FDIC.
You spent a lot of hours in that old tractor planting, tilling, and fertilizing. Just like you, Stadler Implement spends a lot of time with after-sales service. Look at their line of Kinze, Kraus, and Sukup tillage equipment. When it's time to fertilize, Stadler Implement carries the Demco 3-point or pole-type chemical applicators. Carl and his staff also service well engines with tune-ups and overhauls. Isn't it nice to know you can go to one business and be satisfied with their service? Stadler Implement, East Highway 6, Minden.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. 1460 and 1550 AM. KXPN Kearney and KICS Hastings.
ESPN Superstation. Sports Center.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, the Sports Center update on ESPN. Well, the Nebraska football team figures to learn a lot more about itself when Virginia Tech visits Lincoln on Saturday. The Huskers will be playing their first BCS opponent after posting wins over Western Michigan, San Jose State, and New Mexico State. Virginia Tech head coach Frank Beamer is showering praise on Nebraska. Beamer said in a teleconference with reporters yesterday that Nebraska is one of the all-time great programs. He says when you say Nebraska, you think of college football. Beamer has never been to Lincoln, and he says he's looking forward to taking in the Memorial Stadium atmosphere. The teams have played once in the 1996 Orange Bowl. Nebraska won 41-21 after breaking open a 3-point game late in the third quarter. Kickoff will be at 7 o'clock. The game will be televised on ABC. Kickoff has been set for 8 o'clock for the Nebraska-Missouri football game on October 4th. The game will be televised by ESPN. Sixth-ranked Missouri does not play again until making his visit to Lincoln, where it has not won since 1978. A pair of Nebraska volleyball players were honored yesterday as outside hitter Jordan Larson was named the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week, and sophomore Sidney Anderson was selected as the Conference Rookie of the Week. Both players were instrumental in the Huskers going 2-0 last week, posting wins over number 18 Kansas State and third-ranked Texas. The Huskers return to action tomorrow night against Kansas. First serve will be at 7 o'clock at the NU Coliseum. Pre-game show begins at 6:45 on The Breeze, KLIQ 94.5. Meanwhile, the Nebraska volleyball team remains number 2 in the latest AVCA Coaches Top 25 poll. The Huskers are currently 10-0 on the season. Penn State received all 60 first-place votes and is ranked number 1. Texas remains 3rd, followed by UCLA and USC. Rounding out the top 10 are Stanford, Hawaii, California, Washington, and Florida. Kansas State is in at number 17. That's a sports update. I'm Mike Will.
Generally, when you rib someone, it sounds like you're kidding around. But there's no kidding around with the ribbing you'll take at Skeeter Barnes tonight. Because Tuesday, ribs are king at Skeeter Barnes, and everyone knows it's good to be king. All you can eat ribs smoked as only Skeeters can. Served with a variety of sauces up to the sassiest you can take. Only $18.99, all you can eat tonight.
This is Eric Hellriegel, Skeeter Barnes General Manager. We're looking forward to your appetite for ribs challenging us tonight at Skeeter Barnes.
Skeeter Barnes, just south of the I-80 Interchange, Kearney.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. It's Tuesday, extended edition. Bo Pelini, we're going to hear his press conference here in just a couple of minutes. Going to last probably about 20 minutes, and then back with some comments after that. A couple of stories as we get ready to bring you this. St. Louis Rams coach Scott Linehan says Trent Green will start at quarterback Sunday when the Rams play the Buffalo Bills in St. Louis. Statement from the team said Linehan was not going to comment about the decision today, but would be available to speak tomorrow. And also, right now, ESPN is reporting that Willie Parker will miss Monday night's game against Baltimore for the Steelers.
Yeah, a couple big moves in the NFL there. Doug, I guess before we get to the press conference, is there one thing or another that you really care about the press conference? I mean, that stands out to you?
Tony, I think this is an absolute, this is huge. I mean, we could talk about this Friday, but I'll throw the comments out there now and give folks, I guess, a chance to email if they want or think about it and comment later on in the week. This is the most important football game for Nebraska. And not because it's a non-conference game. This does not compare to a USC or some of the other games. I'm telling you, Tony, if they lose this game, I see no way that they avoid a three-game losing streak. None. Zero. Not even, I mean, a 1% chance. Because Missouri comes here, say what you want about haven't won here in 30 years. They're the number four team in the country right now, or sixth team in the country, depending where you look. And then you go to Texas Tech, and Nebraska's pass defense has already shown it's not that great. Nebraska fan is feeling good right now. I have that. That's the way I gather from the folks that are covering the Huskers, watching the Huskers, the general fan, those that are in Lincoln during the game against New Mexico State. Everybody seems pretty fired up. Well, Daddy, there has been no surprise. And pretty much to a point right now, everybody is telling us that 7-5 is still what they think. And if we're going 7-5...
you got to win.
Well, not necessarily. These are games that were pretty much chalked up as loss, loss, loss. And how are Husker fans going to feel with this football team at 3-3? And I'm not trying to say that we're going to be 3-3, but that has been what has been preached the whole time here. And to anybody that comes out, if Nebraska would beat Missouri or beat Texas Tech, oh, I saw that coming. Well, BS. BS. Nebraska would be beating a top 10 team in the country. Hey, give me a break. You're going to be playing a team that was outstanding last year in Missouri, one loss, and Texas Tech, who is in the top 10. It's a road game. I mean, give me a break. Any win there would be a huge, huge upset. Huge upset.
I will be interested to hear here if his demeanor at all changes, because the first three games, we're prohibitive favorites, and if we don't win those, you know, he said the right things and rolled through the press conferences. I want to know if we get a different, and I don't know that you ever get a different coach, but I want to know that's one that seems to be a little bit more zeroed into details and a little bit more, if there's a little bit more emotion in his voice, because I think this is a monster game, like you said, for this football team.
And I think also, Tony, I guess one more thing here is that it is a big football game for Nebraska, and I don't think Coach Pelini is going to play it up that much, but it's his first big game as a head coach.
No question. That's what separates it on another level for him personally, and we'll get to hear that in his voice, perhaps.
I think Nebraska can win this game. I think Nebraska can win. Virginia Tech, we don't know how good they are. Maybe we wanted them to be better than it appears they are.
I totally agree, and I think you come back. And I'm just looking at our little poll again. East Carolina, 26, Georgia Tech, kind of one of the also-rans down the list a ways. Probably looks to be about 40th. How good is this team? I'm not sure. Not sure they've been tested yet. North Carolina, they're not on this list. So, they're down further than Georgia Tech, so like a 42nd-ranked team. So, yeah, how good the competition they played, I don't think we know.
Well, let's go ahead and take you to Lincoln. This was Bo Pelini's press conference this morning as they get ready for Virginia Tech here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Gentlemen.
Coach, how do you describe the change of competition just from the first 3 games to this next 3?
We're just worried about the next one, but it's a good football team coming in here. Talented. A lot of tradition, extremely well coached, obviously, and we'll have to work it out for us.
Athletically, how do they compare to the first 3 teams that you faced?
I don't know. They're bigger, faster. You know, I mean, they're a BCS team who has had a tremendous amount of success over a long period of time. obviously they've been able to recruit well.
There's been talk of this being a measuring stick game. How important is that?
Every game's important. It's just the next one for us. And, you know, we just go week by week, day by day. That's kind of the attitude that we've taken, the approach we've taken as a football team. And Virginia Tech is the next challenge for us.
Where's Andy Christensen at? Would he be ready to go this week, conditioning-wise?
I don't know that. He's behind still, but he's, you know, he's back out there working to get back at it, and you know, he's behind, but he's, you know, I think he's taking the right approach. He does, you know, a good attitude, and see where it goes.
We know about Bud Foster and his defense and what makes him so successful.
I know he's a tremendous football coach, and he's had a lot of success over a long period of time. They run a system that I'm not real familiar with. I mean, I know, obviously, I don't know the intricacies of it. I know kind of what they do and their approach. They're very aggressive. They play with passion. They play hard. They play real physical football. And it's a reflection of him as a coach. And he, you know, obviously, he's been one of the guys that on the defensive side of the ball that's been kind of at the top of the college game for a long time. And you know, that's a, you know, I'm sure, you know, people there are proud to have him as their defensive coordinator because he's a heck of a coach.
What's it mean to the secondary to get West and Denars back?
It's good. It brings, you know, we have some depth back. You know, I have some options, and they're both good football players. So now that they're healthy and feeling good, that makes us a better football team.
Mm-hmm. So how much does your defensive philosophy change now with what Virginia Tech will do offensively compared to the first three teams?
We change every week according to who we play. You know, we tailor what we're going to do to each particular opponent, and you know, they present different challenges, different personnel than we saw the first 3 weeks. And, you know, there's some concepts that are the same, but we apply them a little bit differently.
Is it a case where you play more of your base defense than what you've done the previous week?
Depends what they come out in. You know, we prepared to play base defense in the first couple weeks, but, you know, those teams were a little bit more spread out and a little bit different. You know, what Virginia Tech has the capability to do the same thing. They could choose to go more base. It just depends on the flavor of the day for them. And, you know, we're going to adjust to what they do.
Do you choose your blitzes a little more carefully with a guy like Taylor who can burn you if he can get outside containment?
Somewhat. But you can't change your whole package just based on him. And, you know, regardless, he's a good football player. He's going to get outside. He's going to break contain. He's going to get on the loose every now and then. He's that good athlete. I mean, but, you know, you can't let him scare you out of running your system.
What kind of player is Macho Harris? They're going to use him on offense, defense, and special teams on Saturday.
He's a good player. I recruited him, Macho, out of high school. And, you know, he was a tremendous running back in high school. And obviously, an outstanding corner, and he's a tremendous athlete. Good kid, good guy. Very talented athlete.
He can. In regard to him, to Harris, have you ever had a defensive guy who, I'm sure you've had guys who've wanted to play offense before, but what kind of an athlete does it take, and maturity level does it take to be able to let a guy go over and do that part of the game too?
At the top of my head, well, you know, it's just hard to prepare a guy. And, you know, it takes a guy who can learn both systems. And, you know, they can't do a lot with him, obviously, because, you know, there's not enough hours in the day for him to learn a whole offense and the whole defense, you know. But it just goes to show you that he's a playmaker and he's an extremely talented guy for them to want to get the ball in his hands. And especially as important a role as he plays on their defense. You know, so it just goes to show that how much they think of him as a football player.
Special team is always important, but is there more emphasis upon it this week, Virginia Tech's history in that department?
Well, they're good on special teams. They always have been, and they have a reputation, but we don't, once again, we don't, we have a very high emphasis on special teams every week, so that won't change, and I'm sure our players' awareness will be up a little bit.
Is that an aspect of the game that could swing this one way or another this week?
It always is. It's an important phase of the game. We want to win that phase of the game every single week.
Why are some teams so much better on special teams than others?
Some of it's personnel, some of it's emphasis. I know that Coach Beamer puts a big emphasis on special teams over at Virginia Tech, and it's been obvious. They've won a lot of football games over the years on special teams, and it's an aspect, the phase of the game you have to win. You got to win. It's three phases, offense, defense, special teams, and they're all equally important.
Have you run across coaches that don't necessarily not take it seriously, but just kind of say, it'll go as it goes?
Fortunately, I haven't. all the coaches I've been around some good coaches, they all understand the importance of special teams, from the guys I was around in the pros to Coach Solich, Coach Stoops, Coach Miles. I was exposed to the right things as far as understanding the importance there.
Coach Tyler Wortman is a guy, technically in the starting lineup because of the way things have went, hasn't got a lot of playing time. Have you had any conversations with him just about?
Oh, yeah, he understands because he knows going in. But like before, like I said before, we've been practicing Tyler because, all the teams we have, we've played, really, with the exception, really New Mexico State a little bit, but they all had the ability to come out and in personnels where we'd be playing base people. So he's practiced a lot. It's just a matter of, what teams give us on game day. And, you have to be prepared for whatever they come out in. So he's had plenty of practice time, so we know he's ready.
Well, could you comment a little bit just on Joe's running ability in that offense?
Joe, I think Joe showed people he's a better athlete than what people give him credit for. I mean, he can hurt you, obviously, with his arm, but he can do some things with his feet that, that weren't really part of the offense before. I mean, I don't know that for sure. I didn't really watch a lot of their offense last year, but I think there's more quarterback run in our offense this year than there was last year. And it showed Joe's been able to show his ability to hurt people with his feet, and he enjoys that aspect of it.
Does that make you nervous at all, him taking hits?
No, he's tough. He's big. He's a pretty physical guy. Well trained by our strength staff. So, that's just part of the game. You can get hurt walking down the street. So, I don't mean that to be a smart out, but it's just part of the game. You're going to take some hits. And fortunately for us, we have some very capable backups.
Joe mentioned, too, that Tom Osborne had actually maybe given a little tip or two about the option to your offensive staff. Did you comment on that a little bit?
He knows a few things about it.
Yeah.
So I know one thing. I'm not giving any tips when it comes to that. But, no, Coach Osborne comes out and, he comes out and watches a lot he has a tremendous understanding of offensive football. So he gives his input every now and then and suggestions and that type of thing. And it's made us a better offense, a better football team. It's more a question for Watts, but I'm pretty sure we have. He has, some of the things that we do are, direct reflection of some of the things that he did in the past. Obviously, we have different personnel, and it's a different offense, different offensive philosophy, but some of the things that we're incorporating, whether it be a zone read and the blocking there or the option, and we're not as fine-tuned in the intricacies of how Coach Osborne did it. I mean, they took it to another level, but some of the basics are there.
Does he ask you, do you mind if I say this to you, or does he just
Coach Osborne knows number one, he can say anything he wants to me at any time, but number two, he has a tremendous understanding of the game and how to prepare and what to do. And is he walking down and saying, you have to run this play? No, he doesn't do that. But he's very respectful and very, he understands the right way to go about it. And he's very conscious of doing things the right way in every aspect of his life, and I think he understands the right way and wrong way to give suggestions, and I think he's very very conscious of doing things the right way and not being too overbearing.
So does he just pop his head into an offensive meeting?
Yeah, he pops in to me, to Watts. I mean, he's around a lot, he understands. Sometimes I'll ask him things when it comes to blocking schemes on opposing teams. His input can extend way beyond just the offensive side, but into the defensive side. He's a genius when it comes to the game of football and blocking and offensive football. So he's a tremendous resource.
So you'd be a fool not to embrace him.
Yeah, I try to embrace. Anybody who has the knowledge, you'd be crazy as a coach not to listen. Because let's face it, no matter how much, how long you're around, you never have it all figured out. And there are always people that everybody has a different perspective, another set of eyes, and the more input you take and the more you can learn, the better you're going to become.
In a game like this that could be a slugfest, two guys toe-to-toe, how important would a defensive touchdown be?
I'd love to see a defensive touchdown, but who knows how it's going to go. It could be, that's one thing I've learned is over the years, and you have no idea. It could be a shootout. You really don't know. The circumstances could change. Who knows how the game's going to go. We always talk to our guys about being prepared to do whatever it takes on any given day to win a football game. And circumstances change, and you have to respect the game. You have to respect the idea that anything can happen, and you have to be strong enough mentally to be prepared to handle whatever circumstances you face in that given day.
Do you think this team is tough enough to handle?
I do. I like my team. The whole staff. I like the players. I like the attitude they have. I like their work ethic, and I'm looking forward to playing a quality opponent. We really are.
Go back to that LSU game last year with Virginia Tech. Obviously, you've already said that game could have went in a lot of different ways, different things that happened. But did you notice that the atmosphere at that game, the crowd, kind of got to them a little bit? How important might that be this Saturday?
One thing I know, Coach Beamer is a tough guy, and their staff are tough-minded people, and they're keen plays like that. So I don't think the atmosphere or crowd noise is going to affect them. It's going to affect you a little bit. Or otherwise, you might as well play all the games in neutral fields. That's why you like to play the game at home. So it gives you a little bit of advantage. It gives you an advantage to be at home in a game like this. But they're good enough, and they've been in enough hostile environments that that's not going to determine the outcome of the game. And it surely didn't determine the outcome of the game at LSU. It's just they had some tough things happen early in the game. It was just one of those days where the snowball got rolling, and it's hard to stop it. I've been on the back end of those too, and the wrong end of those. And it doesn't say anything about their coaching or their players. It's just... it happens. That's the game. As I say, that's why you got to respect the game.
Virginia Tech has proved to be pretty opportunistic on stuff coaching. How important will we not to give them a short field or a fumble or an interception in this game?
Well, field position, turnovers, it plays a huge part in winning football games, and we understand that. And getting some big plays and not giving up big plays, not giving up explosive, long touchdowns, that type of thing. Those things, you got to make games like this, you got to make, you know, you want to make the other team have to earn what they get.
Is there a comfort level with them in that they have such veteran coaches? Most coaches don't go too far from what they do. They are who they are as far as offense and defense. In that, you have a pretty good idea of what you're going to expect from them, and it's really a personnel issue.
Yeah, well, I've seen them over a long period of time, but in the same respect, they've seen me over a long period of time, too. And they're good coaches. They're going to be well-prepared. They'll have something different, especially with an athletic quarterback. They'll come in, and they'll have – they kind of have a new wrinkle every week. You know, they run different routes. They had a couple wrinkles last week that I'm sure this week will be different. Some things to help, let the quarterback let his talents come out, and they're doing a nice job, but they're not going to stray too far away from who they are, because who they are is a physical, hitting them out football team, and if you get too cute coaching wise, you get away from what got you there, and I know they're not going to do that.
Coach, you saw Taylor last year a little bit and so far away, but I guess in the three games you've seen so far on film or so. Anything that you've noticed different about him,
or
see the improvement that he's made?
I think he's a confident young man. I mean, a good football player with good, feet that can hurt. I mean, athletic, and
just the more he plays, I mean, people forget. You know, he was a part-time starter last year, and now he's only started a couple games this year, so he's still relatively inexperienced. But he's obviously an extremely talented guy.
The Hokies are a reflection of Coach Beamer. Like you said, they're a tough team to find ways to win. Is this team becoming a reflection of you, or is it still pretty much a work in progress?
Time will tell. It's a work in progress, for sure. But time will tell, I'm sure a lot of people, whether you win or lose, people are going to make their judgments based on that. Hopefully that's a positive thing. And I guess everybody has their opinion on that. But our players, I like where we are. I think we've set ourselves up at a point right now where we're getting better as a football team. We're not the finished product yet, but we're getting better week to week. And if we need to continue, because we need to be better on Saturday night. I think they're enjoying playing football. I think they're enjoying coming to practice and going in the meeting room every day, and they see themselves getting better. And I think they're anxious to play Virginia Tech, and they're obviously a very quality opponent.
Well, these guys haven't been in a 2020 fourth quarter game in a while, but you seem pretty sure about their mental toughness in that situation. What kind of leads you to that?
We were in one, unfortunately, a couple weeks ago, and I thought we reacted pretty well. And, one thing I like about the guys on this football team right now is they just play. There's not a lot of talking. There's not a lot of, when things good happen, they don't get too high, and when something bad happens, they're not getting too low. That's a sign of a maturing football team. And that's what we got to mature, because we got some tough tests down the road. We'll have adversity, and we're going to have to be able to stare it in the face and overcome it.
Coach, you have a lot of big games coming up. I mean, you're looking at the Big 12 and the season right around the corner. Do you have to do anything to keep their focus on Virginia Tech, keep them on Virginia Tech without looking
ahead? No, our guys, we focus on the process, and we talk about it a lot, and our guys are, it's not that concern at all. Good. Thanks, guys.
That was press conference. Bo Pelini is a regular Tuesday press conference. They head into the Virginia game. Didn't get what I maybe expected to get. I thought we'd see a more fiery, maybe the demeanor change of the coach a little bit. Still pretty level-headed. Pretty down-to-earth guy. Very, very calm demeanor. Now, granted, come Saturday in that locker room, the demeanor will not be calm, and the pregame speech will be different and probably not for everybody's ears, but that will be fiery. Thought it was interesting when they come up and ask him about Andy Christensen, the coach, you know, not kind of keeps things pretty close to the chest. I don't think, you know, he offers a lot of extra information, obviously, and saying that Andy Christensen's still behind. Don't know if we'll see him or not. I got to think if we do, it will be to spell a guy for a couple, three plays, barring anybody getting injured, and you're forced to put Andy in at a position that probably you don't feel comfortable about doing that for extended periods of time. He talks about, on that same level of his demeanor, he talks about the football team maturing and knowing there's going to be peaks and valleys and, you know, him not, for the team not to get too high or too low. And I think with as much emotion as those coaches put into it, I think that's going to be relatively tough to do. And I hope they can maintain that middle balance that you need. Hopefully things can continue to go in a positive manner. But, you know, Doug's saying that, boy, to think we're going to beat Missouri and Texas Tech, probably not realistic. I mean, a Husker fan out there, sure, you know, you start to believe those things and whatnot. I thought it was interesting talking about Tom Osborne and how much maybe of an impact, much more great than maybe I originally anticipated, if Tom Osborne, in fact, spends that much time around the team and has knowledge of, basically that's the option game and different blocking assignments and how he would attack things. And I'm stepping into meetings and just being around, I guess, you know, you think obviously Tom Osborne is around the football program a great deal and enjoys doing that, and hopefully any trinket of information is very welcome and appreciated by this coaching staff. So those are a few of the highlights for me. Obviously, you got 23 hours to soak all this up. And if you want to shoot us an email, we'd appreciate it. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Derek, I think that'll wrap it up for us today. And, I think a lot of people have thoughts, and we'll appreciate a phone call tomorrow. 1-888-455-3776, or shoot us an email, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Want to thank Norm Wood from the Newport News Daily Press, giving us an update on the Virginia Tech Hokies, a Hokies beat writer, who's coming to Lincoln on Saturday for the contest. Also, Omaha World Herald's own Mitch Sherman for letting us get his thoughts on this weekend's game. Tomorrow's program, as always on Wednesday, our weekly chat with Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep. Love to visit with Bob, get his thoughts on the big games in the area, and see what he's got thought about last week's contest as well. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio, 1460 in Kearney, 1550 to our friends in Hastings. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!